Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I think, you know, we're unstoppable as an offense.
It's picked off by Devin McCourty.
Boom shakalaka!
Just like any other team, they're not unbeatable.
Down the middle, it's intercepted. On a dive by Gilmore at the 30.
Boom!
Fire down the middle, it's intercepted!
Shaka!
Throws a pass in the back of the end zone. Intercepted!
Shaka!
Dale Arnold.
And we heard him say on the bench, I'm seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts.
I think that's pretty dope.
Rich Key.
The Patriots might need a tight end more than they need a wide receiver.
The New England Patriots have acquired Mohamed Sanu.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Right there!
Utterly outrageous!
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. The number one trending topic in the city of Boston right now.
Star Wars.
No.
No.
Mohamed Sanu.
Well, he's popular.
He's there. He is, now, by his own admission, he tweeted out this morning the little googly eyes emoji and LFG, to which Tom Brady responded to that and said, you know, can't wait to see you, to which Sanu responded and said, on my way.
He's on his way.
Julian Edelman tweeted to him. The McCourties
Kyle
tweeted
Van
out
Noy.
To him.
They're excited. They're excited to have Mohamed Sanu.
James White was a little hesitant to welcome him because nothing's official yet.
Yeah. No, I know. But how do you view Mohamed Sanu? Obviously, we saw him early in his career playing with Cincinnati, and then the last handful of years, this is his fourth year, or was his fourth year, with the Atlanta Falcons. How do you view Sanu?
He's got the second most receiving yards on the team right now.
Okay.
Second only to Julian Edelman.
Oh, you mean on this team?
Right.
I was going to say, where,
right.
with the Falcons.
When he comes in here,
yeah.
He's second to Julian Edelman in receiving yards for the season.
And
so
this
far.
Is a guy kind of similar to Sanders, where there's been links to Sanu in the past with the Patriots. Like they've wanted him, right? And obviously he's a Rutgers guy, so clearly they would want him. I look at him as like
even if he
good,
couldn't play, they'd want him just because he's from Rutgers.
But I view him as like good, not great. Like I've never once considered him like a great receiver. Like I think Emmanuel Sanders kind of got close to that at times. A guy like last year who got traded, Golden Tate, at times was you'd almost consider him a great receiver. Sanu's kind of fine. You know, like I don't get all that excited about it, but I think it is depth. And if you have a Josh Gordon injury, which is what you have right now,
yep,
and you're kind of looking around at, all right, what N'Keal Harry to me is such a wild card. N'Keal Harry could show up and have 20 catches the rest of the season, could have zero, could have more. Like you have no idea with N'Keal Harry. So at least Mohamed Sanu comes in and he's that veteran guy that Tom Brady would be looking for. He's clearly below Edelman, but in my mind, how much better is he than Philip Dorsett or even a guy like Jacoby Myers? I don't know if it's that drastic. But by giving up a second-round pick, they must be saying that he is.
I think they like him more than you do in that regard.
Yes, for sure.
And this is a guy that Belichick's been trying to get for probably 3 years now. The initial talk of the Patriots trying to get him goes back to 2016. Reportedly, they tried this past spring, but the Falcons thought, heck, we got a heck of an offense here. You know, we're not trading Mohamed Sanu.
Uh-huh.
Then they go out and win one game and go 1-6 and say, you know what?
They're like, I'll see you later. You guys want him? Oh, second-round pick. they probably couldn't get him out of there quick enough for a second-round pick. They were thrilled to get something like that. Plus, on that team, you know, they just gave Julio Jones all that money. Calvin Ridley they took in the first round a couple years ago. Austin Hooper, who I think is a free agent at the end of the year, but they throw to him a ton. And they have bigger issues down there than their offense, clearly, anyway. The offense is one of the problems, but that team is horrible right now. So they need to figure out a lot of things. So if they can get a second-round pick for a 30-year-old wide receiver, I think they're going to do it.
617-779-7937. You guys are all lined up. Let's dive back in with you. JP's on the cell phone. Hey, JP.
Dale, Rich, I've got a Keepspiracy right after my defensive comment about the Patriots.
Okay.
Quick thing, I'm changing my nickname. It's going to be called the noise because they bring the boom instead of the defenseman. The defense you talked about, all those 86 Bears and the Ravens and all that, they all had Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer. This team might have one, maybe one and a half Hall of Famers. It just shows you the genius with Belichick running the schemes. You know he's running the defense. Past coordinators have learned from him, but the whole point is he's doing it with guys that other teams didn't want, and we can't even use Bennett as a pass rusher. As far as a great Keefspiracy,
yeah.
Brady retires a Patriot, doesn't sell the house, opens up a bed and breakfast, and he can have all the NFL announcers and commentators and all that come to Boston and Foxborough stay there a night.
Nice.
I love it. If they have omelets, I'm in. I love an omelet.
Can't do better than that.
Oh, I love an omelet. Just load it with bacon. Why not?
Maybe a nice Western omelet?
I don't see why not. There's nothing stopping us from
our bottles. Some ham and peppers in there?
Once a year, my wife and I go up and
have an omelet?
Well, that too. We go up and spend a long weekend at the Mount Washington Hotel.
Sure.
One of the highlights of the whole trip is the omelet bar.
There you go.
You can't do better than that.
So that would sweeten the pot a little bit, maybe for Brady to retire. But, yeah, it's an interesting question. This Patriots defense probably doesn't have a Hall of Famer on it. Now, if Gilmore plays like this for another couple of years, I think – because it's that position, he might have a chance, but I don't know. They might not have a Hall of Famer. Like, Collins is good, not a Hall of Famer. Hightower's good, not a Hall of Famer. McCourty's good, not a Hall of Famer. Nobody on the defensive line. Where he's right, you go back to Ray Lewis's defense, or you go back to Singletary and the Bears. I mean, that's interesting.
By the way, just some further comparisons. The 2000 Ravens, the 85 Bears, and this team. Opposing quarterback passer rating. 2000 Ravens through seven games, the opponent passer rating was 61.9. The 85 Bears, the opposing passer rating was 61.6.
And that's what really wasn't that bad that year.
No.
in 85, the QB ratings were terrible.
Patriots opposing quarterback rating is 35.6.
Yeah, I mean, last night it was under 4 for Sam Darnold.
And again,
they're making bad quarterbacks look even worse. Because that's the other thing with this team is we look around the league and there's a lot of bad teams. And, the San Francisco 49ers, for the most part, are undefeated playing bad teams. They did beat the Rams, so you give them that. But for the most part, bad teams. The Buffalo Bills are 5-1 beating bad teams. Even the Seattle Seahawks, who I like, they're 5-2. But you look at, they've barely beaten some of these teams.
Yes.
The Patriots take these teams, and with the exception of the Bills, they just smack them around. It might be... there's a couple of slow starts mixed in there, but for the most part, they're beating teams by 20, 30 points.
If you put it in perspective, the other undefeated team in the NFL is the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers and the Patriots have two common opponents so far this season. The 49ers beat Washington by 9 points in a monsoon.
A hurricane or whatever.
The Patriots beat Washington by 26. The 49ers beat Pittsburgh by 4. The Patriots beat Pittsburgh by 30.
Right. And they didn't play – I mean, again, I don't like Roethlisberger, and I think he was washed up anyway, but they didn't even face Roethlisberger. I mean, that's the point. Like, they're just slamming teams. Other than Buffalo, and Buffalo turns out is pretty good. They only have one loss, right? They're a lot better than we thought they were. Like, all of a sudden, that's – each week that goes by, you're like, well, maybe that actually counts as a decent win. Most years you wouldn't think so, but this year might be one of them.
Alex on the cell phone. Hey, Alec.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
Doing great.
Hey, I don't have any concerns, but I do have comparisons like you guys are talking about.
Sure.
So Kevin Faulk reminds me exactly like James White, and Corey Dillon reminds me exactly like Sony Michel. I know back in the day, you didn't really throw to the back that much. Maybe once a game, now you're doing it once a series. And, I think Kevin Faulk would have got a lot more reps at the wide receiver position if, he was playing in a day like this, like just like James White does.
Yeah, Kevin Faulk was great. That's a much better comparison than Corey Dillon and Sony Michel. I mean, not to pile on Sony Michel here. I know a lot of people are doing it, but 2.2 yards
per carry. He had 3 touchdowns last night.
Yes, he did. 2.2 yards per carry. He is not Corey Dillon. That is an insult to Corey Dillon, who had a 1,600-yard season. And I know it's different. I know they pass more than they run. Oh, by the way, maybe let's not pass to Sony Michel. That thing hit him right in the midst. Could not have been a better throw. And it felt like there were some yards there to gain. And he couldn't do it. So now you kind of get why James White's the guy they throw to. And I'm not even sure why Sony Michel's the guy that gets all the carries. I don't think he's really proven this season anyway that he is deserving of it, but they're still trying to force it. Still trying to make it happen.
Jason LaConfora tweeted out in the last few minutes, quote, "I expect the 49ers to end up with Emmanuel Sanders in the next week."
Oh.
"We're very much in on Sanu. Really want to add a pass catcher." So apparently, they were trying to get Sanu first as well.
He better go for a second and something else, right? Or two-thirds. Emmanuel Sanders is better than Mohamed Sanu. Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah. And so he should go for more.
The difference is it is truly a rental with Sanders, right?
I mean, he's always re-signed him. But
up at the end of the year. In Sanu's case, you've got this year and next year.
Which, I mean, does that really excite you? Like, we get Sanu for next season?
No, but I think...
I'd rather have the cap space.
I think it excites Belichick.
Maybe.
He really likes this guy.
Yeah, all right. I mean, that wouldn't really do it for me. Like, when they brought in Michael Floyd, didn't he have an extra year on his deal? And you're like, yeah, it's Michael Floyd. You know? Like, I mean, Sanu's probably better. I know Floyd had one really good year, you know, early in his career with Arizona, but Sanu's probably better, a little bit more consistent, kind of a higher floor than Floyd did, but I don't know. I would still rather a half a year of Emmanuel Sanders than a year and a half of Sanu.
David's on the cell phone. Hey, David.
Yeah, Rich, what's up, guys?
Hi, David.
How are you?
Hey, Rich, perfect podcast. Your podcast was to be talking about Star Wars. That would be perfect on the
We probably podcast. Will. We probably
Just
will
break
get
down
there.
The trailer.
I have a feeling we will. Yep.
Hey, and real quick, yeah, that was great when you tried to flip by James. The question on how about your new teammate Sanu? How do you feel about him? And he like clammed up in 1 second. You know, he said, "Oh, I don't know anything about it until I get into the stadium."
That's right.
Well, he's
never, got it down.
He is
he's
never going to give anything until it's official. He's not. It's got nothing to do with him not liking Sanu as a teammate.
Hey, Rich Dale, I need a quick question about Sanu. How many receptions does that guy have? Stat-wise for Atlanta, and how tall is he?
6'2".
He's 6'2", and he has 33 catches this season in 7 games. So there you go. You can't find that information anywhere, Dale. You know,
if only there was a Google
If only you could call in and then jump aboard.
Now, in his defense, he's driving around.
I do have some Sam Darnold breaking news, if you guys want to hear this.
Oh, boy.
Manish Mehta just tweeted out that, according to Adam Gase, Sam Darnold had a toenail removed. Toenail removed for Sam Darnold.
Okay.
He adds, he'll be fine.
Oh, thank God. TNP.
But could that have played a factor, Dale, in the performance last night?
Is that why he was always throwing off his back foot?
Yeah.
Because his front foot,
couldn't plant.
His toenail was sore?
Yeah, you ever had like a toenail that got stomped on or something and it was kind of split? That's a painful son of a gun.
Between mono and a
messed up toenail, what do we really expect from this guy?
What if we combine the two?
One might have led to the other. I want to know what else this poor guy's dealing with, but you got to remove a toenail?
Seems like an Iron Man, really.
He's got to be out indefinitely
There
now.
Were probably guys on his team who would have been willing to do it in the locker room last night.
I would imagine. Had a toenail removed. What a joke they are. What an absolute
If I was Adam Gase,
show.
I might have just kept that to myself.
Yeah, I would.
You're not helping this guy at all.
No, he's not.
Seen ghosts.
Who lasts longer with the Jets, Sam Darnold or Adam Gase?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think I think so. Just because he's on his rookie deal, so make it through the rookie deal, and then. Adam Gase will be long gone probably by then.
Mohamed Sanu, I was just looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
Working back from this year, as you pointed out, this year, 33 catches, 313 yards.
Right.
Last year, 66 catches. Year before that, 67. Year before that, 59. And the year before that, 33. And then 56, 47.
You kind of know what he is, right? Like, he's kind of consistent.
60,
like, that's what he
50,
is.
60 catch guy.
Yeah. Like, he's like a number three. He's a number three, I think. And so is Philip Dorsett, maybe on the high end. So is maybe best case scenario, Jacoby Myers. And so kind of unfortunately is Josh Gordon. Like they're all kind of in there, but hopefully they're guys that Brady feels comfortable throwing to. It's certainly more so than Gunner or having to rely on the tight ends even a little bit more. I mean, Mohamed Sanu, definitely an upgrade. I I have no problem with them bringing in Mohamed Sanu. No. I just would prefer Emmanuel Sanders, and my first reaction was a second-round pick seems high, but let's see what the rest of these trades look like here in the next week.
And if Lacanfor is right, the 49ers also wanted Sanu first, that they were in on Sanu. Sanu went to the Patriots.
Yeah, there's a market for him. Yeah.
Now they've turned their attention to Sanders if Lacanfora's report is right.
Yeah, you never know. But it could be.
No, it
could be.
Stick something against the wall and see. Jay's in Natick. Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Good. Great.
So number 14 has a bad toe, huh? That's too bad.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Hey, listen, I just want to say real quick, I am really sold on this defense. I think they're doing exactly what they need to do against this competition, because in the past I've kind of, I personally have blamed them for kind of playing down to their opponents, stuff like that, this tomato can, whatever. I don't believe that. This year, I think they're just taking care of business, and I'm seeing that they're allowing their offense to kind of develop and get Jacoby Myers into the mix more, and you're not having to really worry about them on the defensive end, and their offense is going to develop and hopefully get some guys back, and we'll see how this season goes. But I'm really liking what the defense is doing. They're playing hard, they're playing smart, and they're playing fast.
It just seems like no matter what the offense's strength is, the Patriots will be prepared for it. So if you can run the ball, I feel like they can stop the run. If you have a really good tight end, well, they have the guys that can stop a tight end. Like in years past, there was always kind of one thing that might be able to get the Pats, and I don't see it this year because you can put Gilmore on any top receiver. You have good safeties. The linebackers are playing out of their minds. They get a good pass rush. Like, there's really no weakness right now on the Patriots defense. Also, they have 18 interceptions. The next highest in the NFL is Carolina with 9. They have 18 interceptions. Nobody else has double digits interceptions. It's crazy what they're doing. And yes, they've played bad quarterbacks, but they've made those guys all look even worse than they are. Like, they have dominated across the board.
They've had 4 interceptions in a game 3 times this year.
That's insane.
And had 3 in another game. Again, we keep doing these comparisons. As you point out, the Patriots have 18 interceptions through 7 games. The 85 Bears had 16. The 2000 Ravens had 12.
To only allow 1 passing touchdown in 7 games in 2019 is remarkable. Even if you just played the
Jets.
And
that one, as you pointed out, was almost a fluke.
Yeah, it really was. It was actually
good
defense.
And
it was good defense on the play. It's one of those things where even if you played the worst team, Miami or the Jets, say you played them every game for 7 straight games, even they, you would think, would throw for more than 1 touchdown. Between garbage time, between fluke plays, between something, and just how all of the rules are in favor of not only the offense, but specifically the passing aspect of the offense. Like last night, for example, all of a sudden the Jets were moving the ball, not for anything they did, but because J.C. Jackson was committing penalty after penalty. You would think over the course of 7 games, you would have allowed more than a passing touchdown. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Texter's got some more breaking news. Breaking news, Sam Darnold has run out of hair gel.
Well, he was very fixated on putting his hat on. Wasn't he? He was like pushing his hair up, putting his hat on, and making sure his hat was on good. That guy, he just was lost. Absolutely lost. And scared.
Wouldn't the best story, I mean, from Patriots fans' perspective, because you hate the Jets, wouldn't the best story be that Darnold went in the locker room after the game and kicked a locker, and they had to take his toenail off after that?
I mean, or somebody stomped on him. Maybe like took a spike and just stomped on
Keenan Williams said, come here.
Get over here. Get over here. You're awful. You're awful at quarterback.
Steve's on the cell. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
What's going on?
T's and P's to the toenail, by the way.
Yeah, it is a shame. It's a real loss.
That's a tough thing.
It might actually be Lawrence Guy's, and they removed it from his rear end.
Perhaps.
We never considered. That's definitely a possibility. Quick question, then I'll hang up and listen. What do you guys think of the possibility that Belichick was willing to go a 2 for Mohamed Sanu because he knows or he has a good inclination that this is Brady's last year? Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Steve. I mean, he's got to be prepared for the fact that it could be Brady's last year.
But I don't think it's Belichick's last year.
Yeah, it's not how he does business necessarily. I just think they needed a wide receiver. They needed a wide receiver all year, hence why they brought in Antonio Brown to begin with. Now, that's top-end guy. Andy didn't have to give up anything, so that was sort of like the perfect deal if it could have worked. But then you play out a few more weeks. and they clearly needed to upgrade the offense. And so I think it's an overpay, but let's see what Sanders goes for. Let's see what maybe another receiver or two that happens to get dealt, if A.J. Green gets traded, if somebody else happens to get traded along the way. Let's see what those go for, and maybe it won't be quite as much of an overpay as I thought.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. OMF coming up at 2 o'clock today, and Bill Belichick is scheduled to join them. It is Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. I know Brady didn't join Greg Hill this morning, but Bill Belichick will be on at 5:30 today.
Yeah, Tom Brady tomorrow.
Yes.
So I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
And I'm assuming that by 5:30, all of those technicalities that Belichick correctly pointed out, they have to go through, which includes moving some money around on the salary cap. You have to do all that stuff. You can't just say, look, we'll put him on the roster, we'll figure it out later. The NFL doesn't like to do it that way. 617-779-7937.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. To check the time as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
Oh, that's
you
what
love
you
it.
Called
noon
for crying.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
So we mentioned earlier the good folks at our sister station, WFAN in New York. And I guess we've got a couple of cuts that we can bring.
Yeah,
to
this is pretty good. So
today.
So Joe and Evan, the midday program down there, Joe Bedingo yesterday talking about the Jets, obviously leading into the game. And, you know, for the most part here, we all picked the Patriots. And I think on this show, we all picked them to cover. Some people thought the game might be close, but I think everybody had the Patriots winning, right? And it was funny, before Monday Night Football, Randy Moss had them winning like 45-10. Like, they made all their predictions. Everybody said Patriots. But Joe Bedingo, being a New York guy, he went a different way.
Well, we'll see. I'll let you. I will let you know. I'm actually. I feel so good about this game tonight, and this is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
I feel so freaking good. I'm actually betting the money line on the Jets. I just want to let you know.
Wow.
And I never do that. I mean, I know it's a good number. It's plus 400. But I never, ever do anything like that. But I feel good about this game tonight. And it's crazy that there's no reason I shouldn't, I do.
Feels good. He felt good.
Well, yesterday he felt really good about it, strong about it, was able to put his money where his mouth is.
Plus 400 is a good line, though, Scheim, right? If you feel good about one of those dogs barking.
Yeah, I mean, plus 400 is a big number.
That's nice.
You don't hate it.
So he felt good about it. I don't know how many units
you liked
put down.
You'd have jumped all over that too, Scheim?
Yeah, but I hated it. That
he
was just a dumb idea.
He liked Pats minus 10 is what he liked. But so, Joe, that was yesterday, Joe Bedingo.
So today in the aftermath of losing his money yesterday, I'm sure he took things well.
Only at ShopRite. I'm looking right now at Adam Gase, okay, who should be fired today. I mean, why are we wasting our time with this brutal head coach? Let's start with that. And I'm not even going to go with the owners because we know the ownership is just completely inept. That they allowed this guy to sell them a bill of goods that he was the quote-unquote quarterback whisperer. Boy, he did a lot of whispering to Sam Darnold last night. Luke Falk looked better in the loss to the Patriots than Darnold did yesterday. Sam Darnold last night looked like a high school quarterback playing in the NFL. That's what he looked like. Like he'd never seen a blitz before, and it was just unbelievable. But I gotta go with the coach first here, bro, because this team wasn't. How are they not ready to play football, bro? Because they weren't ready to play football. Here they are, they're talking about a playoff game, and this is a game we got to win, and I know what an ass I am for betting the money. What am I thinking about? And I don't want to hear anybody again tell me I should be positive, because you tell me, what the hell do I have to be positive about?
Got anything, bro? Anything for him to be positive about? He's actually right.
Would it be better if it was bra? Would that be better or worse?
Sure, yeah, I'll take either one. Either one's fine. He's actually right, though, about Adam Gase.
Oh,
once
God,
you,
yes.
Once you know that it's not the coach, you got to get out of there. Now, you don't fire a guy six games into his tenure, but at the end of this whole season, you got to take a real hard look and say, do we really want to go through year two with this guy?
You did want to fire Matt Patricia like three games into his tenure in Detroit.
No, after the first season, I did. And sometimes it calls for that. Why? What is Adam Gase really going to do? He is, as Bill Belichick pointed out earlier in the week, he's a good coordinator. And I'll give you that. He's had some pretty good coordinator years or good offenses with him as the OC.
This one, not so much.
He had 3 years in Miami. They went 10-6. Then they made the playoffs and lost the first round. Then they went 6-10 and 7-9. And then he immediately gets hired by the Jets. So he gets fired in the division. You saw him for three straight years, and the team got worse. And then you say, yeah, this is the guy we want. So then they hire him. And to Bedingo's point, how can Luke Falk look better than Sam Darnold? How can Luke Falk on the road look better than Sam Darnold at home? How can that happen? And it did have the feel of
he did.
Not just a high school quarterback, but you ever seen those times where, say, like the starting quarterback on the high school team goes down with an injury, and then like there's no real backup, so the JV kid has to come in, and the JV kid is just like, has no idea where anything's going. Has no idea. He's like, you want me to throw the ball? Like, what? I can't even see over the line. And that's what it was like. He was so scared of getting hit. And because you had the stat earlier in the show, he barely got hit.
The Patriots only had two quarterback hits last night.
They had
night.
One sack and two hits.
Yeah.
He had, bro.
And this guy's running around like he's...
like he's now, about to be swamped.
We did find out today that he had a toenail issue.
That's a bad thing.
So that hurts. That's
we don't know
good.
If he had it going in, though.
No, we don't. He may have, on the way home, he may have just hurt his toenail for all we know. I don't know about this guy's immune system. I think that could be questioned.
God knows who's been kissing.
I think it has to.
Although he's probably finding it harder to get a date after last night.
Still the quarterback of the Jets, right?
Quarterback whisperer.
Does that get you anything? Quarterback of the Jets still? No.
No, probably not.
No, probably not. I want to, somebody had a good one. I can't find it on Twitter. Terry on Twitter said his new motto should be kissing chicks and throwing picks. The Sam Darnold story.
I like it.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It could be the title to his autobiography.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Can I give you another reason why you should be happy that the Patriots have acquired Mohamed Sanu?
Sure.
So Mohamed Sanu, as we said, tweeted out early this morning. The googly eyes and the LFG in all caps and lots of exclamation points. That was responded to, well, by lots of people, but among the people who responded to it was Catherine McCarron, who responded the most deserving with two applause emojis.
Hmm.
Catherine McCarron, you'll remember, was the girl that Brett, Brett Musburger was going nuts about.
Because they were teammates in Cincinnati,
yes.
Right? Ah, I gotcha.
And so that was the one that Brent sounded like he should get like a restraining order served on him.
Brent was excited. He was actually even more excited about McCarron's mom than McCarron's girlfriend, but maybe both.
Well, yeah, but maybe he sounded... both. So Catherine McCarron responded to Mohamed Sanu.
Okay, well that's I suppose good news.
I guess
you can't spin.
And
that
by the
negatively.
Way, just so you're clear, he's Mohamed Sanu Senior.
Yeah, no,
we
I know.
We were
that's,
just talking about that yesterday.
That is an important distinction.
But he is a senior, and Catherine McCarron is happy for him.
Good. Everything's coming up Patriots. Then
that's all you need to know. Steve's out in Western Mass. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great.
Dale, big fan. I love your Bruins coverage you do on NESN.
Thank you.
So I might lose the reception here, so I'll get right to it. One, how
glad
do we feel
about
our...
got that other thing in then.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do we feel about our tight ends? I mean, do you think we're going to roll with Watson? I mean, I saw him get blown up multiple times last night trying to block.
So you have no one else.
Yeah, this is kind of it. I mean, unless there's a trade, but I don't know if there's anybody... out
that's
there.
What I'm thinking. Do you think we're going to try to get somebody?
Yes.
I mean,
I think they'll try. I think they'll definitely try to get somebody because this is, I kind of like jokingly thought that no matter what Watson and Tomlinson did, it would be an upgrade over Lacoste and Izzo. And what we saw was three catches for 18 yards for Watson. Also a ball that hit him directly in the face. And Eric Tomlinson had a catch for a yard. And that was better than Izzo and Lacoste. Tomlinson, from what I saw, wasn't exactly an impact blocker. It seemed like he got stood up at the line
a
lot.
It looked as though Brady was kind of ordering him around on that one play where he's yelling, come on, go, go, and he's yelling at him. And
so I don't know. I just don't know what the market's like because of all the names that we've heard, like just these guys could be available. They're all receivers. There's O.J. Howard they were interested in, and they got denied. Yeah,
Tampa
that could change
Bay's
in
not
week.
Interested.
Maybe that'll change in a week. But I think they would love to upgrade the tight end position. But it also seems like with the defense so good.
And by the way, even if they do, it'll be Tomlinson who goes. It won't be Ben Watson after they guaranteed $800,000 for the year.
But just talking about like guys who are going to get the most snaps on offense, you know, like what's their best formation or what's the personnel look like for their best group? It's probably
and
Edelman,
and I disagree with
Sanu,
the caller that you saw Ben Watson getting blown up a lot. I thought Ben Watson was actually blocking pretty well.
He had the one on the touchdown to the left that Michelle ran into the end zone. It was actually even Newhouse, shockingly, got in the way of somebody. I didn't realize that was possible.
He didn't mean to, but he did.
I know. God bless him. But he went out there. He tried to make a play. Yeah, Tomlinson, I was waiting to see this guy because he's a huge dude. And so when you'd see him out there on running plays, I was waiting for him to really just like attack linebackers. And he didn't really see it. But yeah, I think they would love to. And Schefter said that this morning with Greg Hill, too. Like, wouldn't be shocked if they try to do something else.
By the way, a texter tried to help you out for the title of the Sam Darnold biography.
I think we have it.
Well, he's got another suggestion.
Okay.
Makeout sessions and interceptions.
That's not bad.
It's okay.
That's not bad.
Although I'm telling you, he's going to have a hard time getting a date tonight.
Yeah, but as long as he puts his hat on right. As long as he puts his, adjusts his hat right.
Got the gel going and all that stuff.
Ugh.
Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Joe?
Hi, folks. How are you?
Hi.
What's going on?
I just wanted to ask a question, please. When they were watching this, when I was watching TV last night, they said how they saw Belichick yelling at the defensive group there.
He wasn't really yelling at them.
I think he was coaching them.
Yeah.
I think he was coaching them up.
I didn't think he was yelling at them.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just, you know, he was gathering them up there.
Yes.
But he looked a little stern.
I just think he was telling them to keep this going because they were dominating so much that it didn't look like they could do anything.
They had that stretch where they had a couple of plays
and some penalties.
Daron Harmon said, you know, there was penalty. There was a couple of plays where guys kind of got away from him a little bit. Look, he's going to coach till the end.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why.
Although I do think he called off the dogs a little bit.
He 100% did because some of the places where they punted, you wouldn't punt there. You would either go for it or you would say, hey, Nugent. Who made all his kicks, by the way. That's good to see.
Yeah.
And they were down the middle this time, so that was good to see.
It was in.
We didn't even mention his name, but good job out of Nugent. 4-for-4 on extra points, and he kicked a 34-yard field goal. So you'll take it. But I don't remember exactly what it would have been. I think it would have been a 45-yarder maybe, and they were like, yeah, let's punt. You're like, punt?
Yeah.
Or go for it. And I guess if you go for it, people could look at it like, oh, they're rubbing it in. But what do you want them to do? That's such a weird spot to punt. And now Jake Bailey is trying to – you see the way he followed through? He's like, tapped it. He's like, boop. Like, here you go.
I don't know how to punt it
this
short.
Is too – can I throw it there? Like, this is ridiculous.
Can I drop kick it?
Yeah, it was weird, but that's what they decided to do. And then, you know, you put the defense there. Now the Jets have 90 yards to go and forget it. They're not going to get anywhere.
And you get the – We sort of mocked a little bit Belichick pumping up Adam Gase going into this game. But didn't you get the feeling that he was kind of maybe trying to do Gase a bit of a solid new
thing? Yeah, he was. I don't know why, but he really liked him. And I know Andy Hart's theory is that Adam Gase is sort of a game plan guy, or you wouldn't know it by last night. But,
Didn't seem so, no.
But he's more of a guy who will supposedly change things week to week. And Andy Hart says that Belichick respects those guys more than the, hey, this is our team. Like, I don't care what the opponent does because this is what we do. So maybe that's what he just wanted to pump him up a little bit.
The other thing, and, you know, everybody talked about Belichick kind of grinning on the sideline.
Oh, my God.
When the Jets were declining the penalties against the Patriots punt team.
Hilarious.
Belichick even talked about this post-game. Hmm. What he ended up doing, and Gase was too stupid to understand it.
He was lost.
Belichick ended up burning more clock.
Yeah.
Because, well, and Belichick talked about, you know, the whole loophole that he took advantage of.
No, it was just the way the rules are set up. We were able to, you know, run quite a bit of time off the clock without really having to do anything. So it's probably a loophole that'll be closed, but and probably should be closed, but right now it's open.
So the whole
he
idea
loves
here,
that so much.
If Gase takes the penalty, the clock stops. He declines the penalty, so they restart the clock.
And then Brendan Bolton does like a dance move.
And then he stands, and then, you know, Belichick says, fine, burn it down all the way down to the end of the play clock, and then we'll take another penalty.
Real chess match there at the end, wasn't it? Delay a game. No, decline. Delay a game again. No, we don't want it. We don't want the ball. We can't do anything with it anyway.
Adam, the clock starts
no,
if you turn it.
No, you punt the ball. We're not going to punt it. We're going to drain the clock again. No, punt it.
It's a trap.
Yeah, Belichick's just sitting there smirking at him. He's like, hey, idiot, look at the clock. The clock is going down. We're not doing anything. Oh, my God. But Belichick was getting a kick out of it. That was as much. I mean, you could see on his face how pleased he was with
that.
Oh, he and they will. They're gonna change it this offseason. They're gonna call it the Bill Belichick rule now, where the clock is gonna stop on one of those, regardless of what happens. But yeah, that was kind of funny. That was actually even I thought rubbing in the face of the Jets even more than going for it was doing that, and then just purposely committing what three penalties in a row, and just and then finally giving the ball back.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's a good day when you could sit here and get paid for making sport of the New York Jets, and that's kind of what we've been doing all morning
oh,
long.
Oh, they stink so bad. They're worse today than they were a month ago.
You know what it was? It was one giant Steve Nelson pat on the top of the helmet of Pat Leahy.
That's what it should have been. Somebody needed to do that to Darnold last night.
Just like, pat him on the top
hey,
of the
tried.
Helmet. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
They told me I had mono, and I immediately like started laughing, you know, thought they were joking. And obviously it wasn't a joke.
Sam Darnold said those first few days of having mono weren't funny at all.
I learned a lot about protections because when you're learning an offense, when you're only given really an offseason to learn about an offense, you can definitely, you know, try to skip some steps into your way to learn it faster. And so for me, I really took a step back and really went to day one install of the protections and really just grinded those out and really started to understand those a lot more. You know, I felt like I really got a good grasp of that, and I felt like it definitely helped.
I think that every time Sam Darnold talks, there should be this in the background.
I think he should stop. I just wouldn't say anything. What? Did that help him at all?
No.
Did being mic'd up help him at all, or did that
no,
kill him?
No, it killed him.
That absolutely
and even,
crushed
even
him.
Pregame when he's making noises.
Nobody is really good at being mic'd up because they ham it up too much. They're like, I'm mic'd up.
Edelman's pretty good. Like, he's funny.
He's got some stuff in there, but I'm sure you also have to go through so much of it and find it. Like, the Super Bowl stuff, it was great when he was mic'd up and he was talking about that he caught the ball against the Falcons and like looking up at the thing. Like, that was great. But for the most part, you can tell guys are just trying to like start conversations that they wouldn't normally have because the teammates are looking at him like, what? What are you talking to me for? They're like, well, I'm mic'd up. I'm mic'd up. We're going to be on TV later. Like, yeah, we're always on TV.
Well, when he was talking to Gase at the end of the first half on the sideline there, and Gase
oh, my God.
You know, we got the ball coming out.
Yeah. He's like, can we punt? I don't want it. I don't want the ball. You see what they're doing to me?
They're making me scared.
Like, wow, I'm seeing ghosts. He's talking to nobody. Yeah, wow, seeing ghosts.
You get the ball in the second half.
That's right.
Okay? So listen, we got to reset right now.
Come on, absolutely. Got you.
You know what to do.
Yeah.
All right? Just trust yourself.
trust yourself.
By the way,
there's no trust in himself.
First three Jets possessions of the second half ended with interceptions.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the whole reset thing might not have worked well for them.
Because you know how sometimes when you're watching a game, a guy might throw an interception because it tipped off the hands of his receiver, or maybe it was just an unbelievable play by the defense, right? The interceptions happen like that all the time. These ones? Just hucking the ball up in the air like, ah! Like, no clue. The first interception he threw of the game, it should have just been, they could have packed it in right from there. That was just
the Harmon one?
No, the McCourty
one. Oh, the McCourty one,
The McCourty one that he threw early in the game was just sort of drop back. I don't know what's going on. He probably felt like the Patriots had 20 guys on defense. Because not only did he think he was getting pressured from every angle, he probably thought that everything was covered. And then they show the replay. Because sometimes when they show the replay of a guy who throws an interception, you say, oh, this is what he saw. It's just the corner closed really quickly, or the safety came flying in out of nowhere. Nope. These guys are covered. There's multiple defenders in the way. And even if the defenders weren't there, the ball wouldn't have been completed. Like, it wasn't even close enough to the receiver. It was some of the worst throws I've ever seen. And then some of the other ones, I assume he was throwing it away, but you don't even know. Like, how many times did he throw the ball, like, over the guy standing on the sideline? More than I've ever seen.
Brian Costello, who is the Jets beat reporter for the New York Post, tweeted out earlier, about half an hour or so ago, and this was after Gase met with the media and gave us the big toenail removal scoop.
What was his eyes doing during that whole thing?
Gase on ESPN mic'd up deal. Quote, I don't know how we can allow our franchise quarterback to be put out there like that, unquote. Says they will reevaluate their cooperation with the network.
So I wonder, because you mentioned earlier how in the NHL there is sort of like a buffer in the sense that the team, before it goes to air, they could say, no, we don't like that out there.
So I wonder if you could see a situation, and I used a bad example with Bergeron. But let's say Marchand is mic'd up, and he's telling Pasternak on the bench, God, that guy sucks.
Yeah.
You know,
that wouldn't make it to air.
And the Bruins would say, no.
Yeah.
You're not putting that out there.
So either there isn't that person, or that person's terrible, or they just trust the league and ESPN, or ESPN specifically. Maybe they trust them and they say, hey, he's going to get mic'd up. I also wonder, again, not that this is the only way to do things, but do you think if Bill Belichick had a second-year quarterback, let's say Jared Stidham has to start next year because Tom Brady decides to go somewhere else, and Monday Night Football says, hey, can we mic up Jared Stidham? You think they're going to do that? My guess is they don't. My guess is they say no. It's probably the player's option, but as a young guy, I bet the coach steps in and says, you know what, maybe in a couple of years you mic yourself up. We're not doing that right now, because what's the gain? There's zero gain.
Like, I can't – I may not remember it. I don't remember the Patriots doing it at all, except for NFL Films.
And Brady turns it down all the time.
Right. The NFL Films, Belichick has complete trust and faith in.
Yeah.
He knows, you know, that they're never going to make anybody look bad. You see that all the time with, you know, Edelman and these guys. But I can't remember an ESPN or NBC Sunday night game where one of his players is mic'd up live.
And you can turn it down. And it's just one of those things where it was so damning for Sam Darnold. Because it's one thing if Booger McFarland, doing the game, says, you know what, I think Sam Darnold's seeing ghosts. Like, if he says that, that's pretty critical of the quarterback. You know, it's what it is, but it's critical. But you have the actual quarterback saying that. At that point, just pull him out of the game. Like, he's done. He's cooked. And instead, Adam Gase keeps him in the whole time. He ends up with four interceptions, a fumble lost, you know, after a bad snap, a safety that he has to punch out of the back of the end zone, under 100 yards passing, close to 33% completions, and a quarterback rating of 3.6.
So Manish Mehta has got some further information about the mic'd up process. He's got a series of tweets here. First one says, here's how Monday Night Football mic'd up process works. NFL Films signed off on Sam Darnold's ghost comments to be aired. They had a rep on site. My understanding is that people high on NFL Films totem pole are not happy that their rep cleared this for air. ESPN requested Sam Darnold to be mic'd up. Jets were receptive to that, welcomed it. New York Jets had agreed to have Darnold mic'd up for the week two game time, primetime game against the Browns, but he got mono. Jets did not have a rep sign off on the ghost comment to be heard. Finally, ESPN doesn't have any control over what gets aired or not from the mic'd player. That was a decision made by an on-site NFL Films rep. Bottom line, players say things like this on the sideline a lot. Jets and Darnold got screwed here. The organization should be pissed.
Yeah.
Now, that's the way it is in the NHL. That type of comment would never make air. And apparently, in this case, somebody at NFL Films okayed it. And in fact, the higher-ups at NFL Films are mad at their own guy for clearing that for air.
Yikes. That was a mess. It was a mess. And it makes him look like that's going to be attached to him for a very long time.
Oh, God, yeah. He's never going to shake it.
No.
He's got it forever.
It reminded me at the time of, and now this player unfortunately got a career-ending injury, but do you remember David Wilson, who was a first-round pick running back for the Giants? And in his first game, it was a primetime game, and he fumbled, I think, once or maybe even twice, and they showed him on the sideline crying.
Yeah.
Crying on the sideline in a primetime game after a fumble, and you're like, man, that is going to be attached to you for the rest of your career. Now, sadly, he had a brutal injury in his second year, and he never came back. I don't know if he would have been good or not, but that's what everybody associates him with. And for his 2 years in the league, that's what it was. And Sam Darnold, he's going to be the guy who admitted to seeing ghosts. That's what it's going to be.
And in this case, and we mentioned early on in the program, that wouldn't happen to a Bruins player who was mic'd up. As it turns out, it shouldn't have happened to Sam Darnold. He did get screwed here.
Yeah, he got screwed. But again, if you say you'll be mic'd up, you run the risk of something that you say going on TV because you said.
Except there's supposed to be this buffer that wouldn't allow that, and the buffer said, screw it, go ahead and run it.
Yeah, but I still put the blame on Darnold. He agreed to do it, and he said it. He said it. Why did he say it? He didn't need to say it.
617-779 at Stadium. Bill Belichick will be with them at 5:30. We've got an hour to go. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.